Hey, Wowzer fams, Mindy here. And if you're looking to give the gift of wow this holiday season, a membership to our World Organization of Wowzers has got you covered. By gifting a membership, your Wowzer will receive access to over 700 episode-specific digital activities, including science experiments, crafts, games, recipes, book lists, and more. They'll also receive an autographed picture of Guy Raz and me, an exclusive WOW t-shirt, and discounts and early access to events. And as the gift that keeps on giving, for every membership purchased, Tinkercast will donate one teacher membership to an underserved classroom via FirstBook. To give the gift of wow this holiday season and learn more about the World Organization of Wowzers, visit tinkercast.com/membership. That's tinkercast.com/membership. That's it. And now let's get on with the show.
Get ready for an adventure of magnificent proportion.
Yes, we will have plenty of time to get to everyone. Yep, just line up right there. Thank you. Next! And your name is? Okay, I'm going to go with Mauricio? Okay, now, if you'll just head on over to Dennis, he's waiting for you by the gingerbread mansion.
Yes, hello, Mr. Cow! Over here!
He will paint some eyes on your butt for you. Have fun!
Come on over. Okay, I'm thinking maybe a smoky eye kind of thing. Maybe with jewel tones?
Next!
Mindy?
Guy Razzy?
Mindy, what are you doing? Where did all these cows come from?
Oh, well, mostly farms and one zoo, Grandma G-Force's basement. Oh, and that one over there, she escaped from the vet.
Escaped from the vet?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I helped her. And then she gave me a ride home. Guess I'm a cow gal now.
Mindy, there must be 100 cows out here.
I know! Isn't it exciting?
But this is a residential neighborhood. You need to get them back to where they belong.
Hey, who let these cows out? Who?
Thomas Fingerling!
What? Who?
Were you able to get all the googly eyes I needed?
Oh, there you are, young lady.
Googly eyes?
You bet I did. Here, got you a whole box of them.
That looks like a box of macaroni.
What? Macaroni? Yeah, dang it. You telling me I ate googly eyes and cheese for lunch?
Can someone please explain to me what is going on here?
Hey, don't have a cow, man.
Guy Raz, isn't it obvious?
Whoa, easy there, Bessie. Stay still. I need to affix these eyelashes to your patootie. Mindy, where's the eyelash curler?
We're painting eyes on the butts of all these cows.
Yeah, I can see that with my own eyes, but why?
We're saving lives here, Guy.
That's why.
Although now they could get conjunctivitis of the butt.
Huh?
Guy Raz, I just read the most fascinating new scientific study in the journal Communications Biology.
Wait a minute, is that what happened to my copy?
Oh, yeah, I emptied your mailbox for you.
What?
And don't worry, I got rid of all the junk mail and anything labeled Bill.
What?
Because obviously you're not Bill. Bill lives three doors down.
Wait, what?
You're welcome.
Mindy.
Anywho, the study was led by this ecologist named Neil Jordan from the University of New South Wales in Australia.
And just to be clear, an ecologist is a scientist who studies how creatures interact with their environment and with other creatures, right?
Exactoritos. And in this case, the creatures interacting with each other were livestock and big cats in the wild delta of northwest Botswana.
Botswana? You mean that triangle? triangular-shaped country right in the center of southern Africa?
That's the one.
And a delta is a wetland area that forms as river waters empty into a larger body of water like a sea or an ocean.
Well, in most cases, yes. But this particular delta, the Okavango Delta, it's one of the few that do not flow into a sea or an ocean.
Hey, Mindy! I finished painting eyes on Mariah Carey. Do you think she could use some sassy leopard spots, too?
Just the eyes, Dennis!
Oh, fine.
What?
But speaking of leopards, there are plenty of them in the Okavango Delta in Botswana. In fact, it's home to some of the world's most endangered species of big cats. Leopards, cheetahs, lions.
All ambush predators.
Say what?
Ambush predators. Big cats like lions, leopards, and cheetahs are known for being very stealthy and strategic when it comes to capturing their prey.
Ooh, I'm listening.
An ambush predator will find a good, sneaky hiding spot where it will sit very still and wait for its prey to come around. And when it does, with a laser-like precision, the ambush predator will leap out and launch a surprise attack.
They're sneak attackers.
Huh? What's a sneaker taker? Some rascal who runs around taking sneakers?
No, the ambush predators.
The big cats, you know, leopards, cheetahs, lions.
Oh, I gotcha. The big cats take the sneakers and use them to attack other animals. Now, what kinds of animals are they sneaker taking?
Well, depending on where they are, they want deer or boar or wild pigs or rabbits or antelopes or cows?
Heavens!
And, of course, other forms of livestock, but definitely a lot of cows.
Mindy, check it out. I gave this one a dramatic cat eye.
Ooh, good one, fella. Now, let me show you how to do a floating liner in metallic rose gold. Hand me that there.
So all of this talk about ambush predators leads me back to this study I started telling you about earlier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So farmers in Botswana have had a major problem with losing their cows to ambush predators, particularly to hungry lions.
Lions launching surprise attacks on unsuspecting cows?
You know it. And from a conservation standpoint, this is a big problem worldwide.
And by conservation, you mean protecting things found in nature.
Yeah. And in this case, cows.
Huh.
So in many rural parts of the world, farmers losing their cows and other livestock put themselves as farmers at risk.
Right, right, because farmers earn money by selling the milk from their cows.
Yeah, when you're a small farmer, losing your livestock, even one cow, could mean losing your entire livelihood.
Huh.
No cows, no milk. No moolah.
Did somebody say milk grows on cows?
No.
Grandma G-Force!
What?
Oh, nothing, just hi.
Grandma G-Force, over here. We're painting eyes on cows' butts.
So, I got an eye on my butt.
You do?
A bullseye. It's a tattoo. Look here.
No, we do not pull our pants down.
Please, we'll take your word for it.
Well, suit yourselves.
Chief Force, get over here and help us. This cow won't sit still.
Ah! Its butt is moving all over and smearing the mascara.
Well, that's what I call a rump shaker if I never saw one.
Sorry, Guy Raz. Where was I?
Something about the importance of protecting farmers' cows?
Oh, yeah.
But what I'd really like to know is, why are you all painting eyes on cows' behinds?
I'm getting to that. Guy Raz, do I look like I know what I'm doing here?
No.
Your ignoring her.
I thought you said you were done.
Oh, snap.
I said I'm not done.
Well, how was I supposed to know?
Ahem. So back to protecting cows from predators.
Sorry, Mindy.
See, farmers have tried all sorts of things to keep predators away from their livestock.
And I'm guessing things like fences or barricades of thorny trees or wild barking dogs. I think I've even heard of humans trying to get rid of the predators completely.
Yes, all of those things. But what if there was a better way? A less expensive way? A super easy and safe way that wouldn't harm the prey or the already endangered predator? A way that involved mascara.
Huh. Go on.
Okay, story time.
Ooh.
I said story time!
Oh, a story?
Well, I guess I could take a little break.
Come on, Moo-Moo.
I love stories.
Well, go on then. We're listening.
Once upon a time, there was an ecologist named Dr. Neil Jordan. And Dr. Jordan went on a little field trip to a wild delta in Botswana. And on that field trip, his eyes witnessed something amazing. A lion stalking an unsuspecting antelope for a whopping 30 minutes. The lion just watching and waiting and watching and waiting. And just when that lion was about to launch into a sneak attack, the antelope turned around.
Well, big whoop. I turn around all the time. Oh, sorry.
The antelope locked eyes with the lion. And then... ooh, you don't even want to know what happened next.
We don't?
Well, I do.
The lion walked away. The end.
What kind of story time was that?
Oh, maybe it was like a joke or something. Like the lion turned away and it was the end, like the lion's rear end. Get it?
Say what?
No. That can't be right.
Wait. I know exactly why the lion walked away from its prey.
You do?
Yes. Mindy and I were just talking about ambush predators. And when ambush predators stalk their prey, they rely on the element of surprise, which means that even being seen by their prey might cause them to abandon the hunt.
It lost the thrill of the chase.
Exactly.
And it was in that moment that Dr. Jordan hatched an idea.
Which was?
If making eye contact with the lion ultimately saved that antelope's life, then maybe, just maybe, painting eyes on its butt could save it from behind, too.
He wanted to trick the lion with a booty face?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, humph.
So let me get this straight, Mindy. If the predator gave up the hunt when it made eye contact with its prey, then perhaps the predator would give up the hunt if it made eye contact with its prey's, butt?
Well, yeah, as long as there were eyes on the prey's butt.
Huh.
So, in the spirit of anything for science, and knowing that this was a redonkulous idea, Dr. Jordan and his team set out on a 4-year science experiment to see if this idea was so redonkulous that it just might work.
Huh.
Oh!
Wow.
Well, thanks for the story, Mindy, but I need to get back to work. These false eyelashes aren't going to glue themselves to cow's patooties. Come on, Tommy.
Okay, I'm a-coming.
Well, I guess I'll get in line for a pair of peepers on my keister.
So, Mindy, what did Dr. Jordan and his team do for the experiment?
Okay, so first, they gathered cows. 2,061 cows from 14 herds over the four-year experiment. And each cow was divided into one of three groups.
Okay.
For the first group, they painted detailed eyes on their big cow butts.
Anything for science.
For the second group, they painted two simple X's on the cow's butts. One X for each cheek.
And for the third group?
For the third group, the researchers did nothing. They just let the cow butts be cow butts. No eyes, no X's, no paint at all. Just bare butts.
And then I'm assuming they set the cows free to roam the wild delta?
You know it. But first, they gave each cow a tracking collar so that they could, you know, keep track.
And so they did this for 4 years, and what did they discover?
Well, Dr. Jordan and his team found that over time, 15 of the cows in the all-natural, no-paint-on-the-butt group were attacked by ambush predators.
Ooh.
He also found that of the cows in the X's on the butt group, only 4 of them were attacked by ambush predators.
Huh, so quite a few less than the bare butt group.
But of the cows in the eyes painted on their butts group, not a single one was attacked by an ambush predator.
Wow, suggesting that his ridiculous idea to paint eyes on the cow's behinds worked.
Pretty bonkerballs, huh?
Mindy, where did we land on aviator sunglasses? You said they were cool, right? Because I think they go nice with the tail.
What?
No, Dennis, we talked about this. It only works with realistic-looking eyes. No sunglasses.
Well, phooey.
So, Mindy, is this the solution then? Protecting livestock by painting eyes on their behinds?
Well, it could be one solution, but it's going to take some more experimenting to know for sure.
Because I'm guessing there are still some questions left to be answered?
You know it. Questions like, will lions and other ambush predators outsmart the scientists and discover that the eyes they're seeing are just fake eyes painted on butts? Or what would happen if there was a whole bunch of cows in a herd with eyes on their butts? Would it work then?
But it does seem to be a good step toward a potential solution.
I'd say so. I mean, it takes both predator and prey coexisting or living together to keep an ecosystem healthy.
And if one were to be wiped out completely, either by humans or each other, that could spell some big trouble for all of the natural wildlife in that ecosystem.
Exactoritos.
So, Mindy, you still haven't answered my question.
Which was...
Why are you painting eyes on the buttocks of all of these cows?
Well, obviously to save them from ambush predators, Guy Raz.
But we live in a residential neighborhood.
A neighborhood full of natural wildlife.
Give me that finger. You don't know
the one I'm pointing at.
You don't know how to do it.
And also because I accidentally helped a lion escape from the zoo last week.
What? No.
It was an accident. And don't worry, Guy Raz. As usual, I've got everything out of control. Whoop! Watch your butts, everyone! There's a lion on the loose!
Wow in the World, we'll be right back. Grown-ups, this message is for you.
This message for parents comes from Storytime with Josh and Blue, Nickelodeon's official Blue's Clues and You podcast. Grown-ups and kids can join Josh and Blue on more adventures. In each episode, Josh helps Blue settle down by reading her a story. You'll hear Josh having lots of fun, doing tons of silly voices, all leading to the grand finale, a restful snooze for a dog named Blue. Binge all 10 episodes of Storytime with Josh and Blue wherever you get your podcasts. And catch Blue's Clues and You on Nickelodeon.
This message for parents comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc. Teladoc is here for you with 24/7 access to board-certified doctors who can diagnose and treat non-emergency conditions like sinus infections, allergies, rashes, and more. And Teladoc's doctors can, where authorized, call in a prescription to be filled at the pharmacy of your choice. Download the app today or visit teladoc.com/NPR.
Lauren Coe of Loco Kitchen went from pie-zaster.
It looked like a crime scene. All the berry juices were everywhere.
To pie master. She'll share tips based on years of baking delicious pies that are stunning works of art, too. Listen and subscribe to NPR's Life Kit.
That's it. Back to the show.
Wow in the world.
Thanks for calling Wow in the World. After the beep, get ready to record.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz.
My name's Elena.
And my name's Levi.
We live in Charlotte, North Carolina. And my Wow in the World is that instead of laying eggs, some snakes can give live birth.
My Wow in the World is that some turtles can breathe through their butts.
They hired Reggie and Dennis for us.
Hi!
Mindy, how many inventions have you even made?
Hi, Wow in the World. My name is Sage, and I live in Durango, Colorado. And my wow is trees can talk underground with their roots. Say hi to Graham, G-Force, and Reggie for me and Dennis.
Well, hum.
Ahoy there.
Hi, my name is Jonah, and I live in Massachusetts. My wow in the world is that Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune all have rings. Isn't that crazy? Say hi to Reggie for me.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name's Penelope, and I live in Chevy Chase, Maryland. My wow in the world is that the left side of your brain controls the right side of your body, and the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. Say hi to Reggie for me. Bye.
Hi, my name is Morgan from Sandpoint, Idaho, and my wow in the world is that armpit sweat is not actually stinky. It is the bacteria that is mixed with it. Say hi to the Sly Kitties for me.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is Harper, and I am 7 years old, and I live in Napa Vine, Washington. My wow in the world is that the average rain cloud weighs as much as 100 elephants. Isn't that bonkerballs? Thanks, I love your show. Say hi to Dennis and Grandma G-Force for me.
Oh, snap!
Howdy!
Bye.
Good morning. My name is Forrest. I am 9.5 years old and I live in Fremont, California. My wow in the world is that the sperm whale's brain is the largest in the animal kingdom.
Hi, my name is Emma. I'm from Clifton Park, New York. I'm in fifth grade. And my wow in the world is that gelatin is actually made from bones and skins of certain animals. Isn't that crazy? But they do make vegan jello. Say hi to Grandma G-Force, Dennis, and Reggie.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Dennis, what's your favorite kind of giraffe?
What's my favorite kind of giraffe? There's different kinds? Reggie! How come you didn't tell me there were different kinds of giraffes?
End of messages.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us this week on Wow in the World.
And to keep the wow rolling, check out this week's scientific conversation starters at our website, wowintheworld.com.
And grown-ups, there you can find more info on how your kids can become members of the World Organization of Wowzers, shop our Wow Shop, upload photos and videos to us, and check dates for our upcoming live events. That's wowintheworld.com.
Our show is produced by Jed Anderson,
who provides the bells, whistles, and silly characters. Say hello, Jed.
Hello.
Our show is written by me, Guy Raz, and Thomas Van Kalken, who also provides silly characters. Tom?
Hello there.
Thanks also to Jessica Bodie, Anna Zagorski, Rebecca Caban, Kit Ballinger, and Alex Curley. Meredith Halpern-Ranzer powers the WOW at Tinkercast.
Our theme song was composed and performed by The Pop-Ups. For more on their 3-time Grammy-nominated all-ages music, find them at thepopups.com.
And grown-ups, you can follow WOW in the World on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WOW in the World. And our email address is hello@wowintheworld.com.
And if you're a kid with a big WOW to share with us, call us at 1-888-7-WOW-WOW for a chance to be featured at the end of the show.
Also, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to WOW in the World on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, leave us a few stars, a review, or just tell a friend about the show.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time,
keep on wowing. Jinx!
WOW in the World was made by Tinkercast and sent to you by NPR.
How do we reinvent ourselves? And what's the secret to living longer? I'm Anoush Zomorodi. Each week on NPR's TED Radio Hour, we go on a journey with TED speakers to seek a deeper understanding of the world and to figure out new ways to think and create. Listen now.